Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you through this Wednesday morning. We're going to have Drake Hills, Nashville SC beat writer for the Tennessean, join us at 8:30. Former Tennessee Titan Wesley Woodyard joins us at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that discussion. And also former Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta, current Ravens radio analyst, will join us at 9:30. So a lot still to come here on Robbie and Rexrode. But Joe, let's start with a topic that a year ago maybe most people wouldn't believe, but the decision-making recently, at least on the surface, from John Robinson and Mike Vrabel seems to be flawed and seems to have been problematic so far this season. Now, I want to start by saying I realize that we are not in the same room that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are in. We're not privy to a lot of times to the same information that those guys are privy to. But when you think back to the decision to bring in Vic Beasley, Jonathan Joseph added to the group, not drafting a pass rusher, the Isaiah Wilson pick in the first round. Yesterday they cut Ryan Allen for Trevor Daniel, a guy that was awful in the game on Sunday, or on last Thursday against Indianapolis. The decision-making on the surface to me seems like it's been poor at times this year from John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. What do you make of what you've seen from those two from a management standpoint this season?
Well, you have to me, you have to separate the two. Like, if you compared Vrabel right now to Vrabel last year, think about that. There was like a string of late-game decisions that some worked out okay and they won, some didn't.
Yeah.
And he took a lot of heat for that, got a lot of justified questions for that. So it's not like that for him. I think right now it's the specialist thing. You know, on the Robinson front, we've gone through the bad offseason. Now, you mentioned Jonathan Joseph. There's an example of something I would not – he was brought in to be a depth dude. You know, he wasn't brought in to play. It's not his fault that Adoree Jackson and Christian Fulton got hurt, right? So he got exposed, and you should have, I guess, brought another depth guy in other than him. But I also think that Jonathan Joseph is not coincidentally a childhood friend of Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes.
Right? So if that had something to do with landing Clowney, well, maybe at the end of the year we still will say it wasn't good because Clowney hasn't been very good, but I think there was more to it than that. And he and Vrabel had a relationship, so Vrabel knew he'd come in and be a good locker room guy. By all accounts, he was. He just shouldn't have been on the field. Take that out of it. The pass rusher thing, Isaiah Wilson, I mean, right now it's John Robinson's worst offseason by far, and now – you're talking about these decisions moving forward. Very tough decision at kicker. The kicker thing continues. It's amazing that the kicker issues and the inability to find someone who can make field goals in 2 years. And now the punter thing, I guess that's you can look at that as a Vrabel thing. Why Ryan Allen's out, why Trevor Daniel gets another shot after what he did last week. Overall, it's you start losing, and all that stuff gets questioned more.
And John Robinson, I think, still largely, when you look at his entire body of work, I mean, he's done a great job of putting this team back to a position in the NFL where it's relevant again. I think sometimes we forget how bad this team was when he came in and took over, and it was, as far as turnarounds in the NFL go, I mean, it was relatively quickly that they got back to relevance in the NFL. So he deserves a lot of credit for that, and I still think John Robinson is set up to be the general manager here for a while, but it has not been a good year for him. I mean, it just hasn't. You look at the draft so far, you haven't gotten anything out of your first-round pick, and I realize the second and third-round picks are a little different because injury has taken place, and that's different. But the draft class has basically come in here, had very little impact on this team this year. You have some free agents and Vic Beasley that were just, I mean, it was a total disaster with Vic Beasley. It didn't work out. We questioned it at the time, and it played out the way I think some people thought it would, and he had zero impact whatsoever. Clowney has been disappointing so far. This has, I think, been, fair to say, so far, the most disappointing season of John Robinson's career from an acquisition standpoint. Now, I'm not saying that, like, the Titans are going to be awful the rest of the year, but from an acquisition standpoint, one game away from the Super Bowl, what you brought in and what it's added to your group, I think it's been very disappointing from John Robinson.
It has been. It's largely about two people. It's about Vic Beasley, which is a complete L, and was questioned from the start. There were questions about Vic Beasley going way back, and you went there anyway, and it was just a complete disaster. And then Isaiah Wilson, because obviously, whether that's failed vetting or whatever happened there, the fact that you have a first-round pick who has not yet been active for a game is, when you're that close, is just terrible. Now, I think this draft, we could be looking at this in a couple of years and see, wow, look what Darrington Evans was when he got healthy, and Christian Fulton was when he got healthy, and Laurell Murchison's a nice rotational player on the D-line, and Chris Jackson, pretty good pick late, a guy who can give you a little bit of help. I mean, it could look a lot – and look, it could look different with Isaiah Wilson someday. It needs to look different. It certainly needs to look different in the terms of a guy who plays football for you, but – right now, it's just this year is judged differently because it's a go-for-it year. I mean, it's like those last two or three pieces. What are your choices to put this team over the top? They are 6-3 right now, despite a lot of these choices not working out. But this is not a team that at this very moment has progressed from what it was at its best last year.
It is not. And look, I think you look at this Ravens game right now. We're going to get to this a little bit in the next segment. But all of a sudden, this game to me, I think is a little bit more winnable than it was a couple weeks ago, just because of what I've seen out of Baltimore's offense. And quite frankly, like, their defense, Calais Campbell's banged up right now. They're not as strong defensively right now as they are when they're at their peak. So I do think there's an opportunity here for the Titans heading into this game. But these next two games, very crucial, and you need – your coaching staff to make the right decisions. And I am just so worried about special teams heading into these next couple of games with Gostkowski still being the kicker. I've made my feelings on that very clear. The Ryan Allen decision yesterday to release him baffled me. And I think it baffled a lot of Titans fans. And that puts a whole lot of pressure on Trevor Daniel and the Titans this Sunday. Because if you screw up in the punting game again, I mean, all of the fingers are going to be pointed at Mike Vrabel for that. And they should be.
Right. I mean, the punts on Sunday, there will be such a focus on that, And not the usual, like, ooh, what's Brett Kern going to do here? It's just like, is this guy going to get off a professional punt?
I mean, is he going to make contact?
Yeah. Is he going to make contact? Yeah. Will he make solid contact? Right. I mean, two of his three punts were total disasters that lost you the last game. Again, it was blocking that totally failed on the block.
Yes.
When I first saw, with my naked eye watching that, I said, my gosh, he took way too long. And he was slow, but even if he speeds up there, when you watch the replay, there's no chance.
No, the snap wasn't great either. I mean, he had to get down and catch it. So it wasn't a great snap. But
still, I mean, the shank was a key moment in that game. And I have all the respect in the world for football coaches basing a lot of their decisions on things that they see that we don't. Practice, very important. But, man, isn't there
how much practicing they've been doing since last week?
Well, that's another thing, too. Yeah.
Like, if they brought Trevor Daniel in to punt every day with Ryan Allen,
maybe
what have they been doing?
Maybe they had a secret punt-off that we don't know about. I don't know.
But it seems to me like they haven't really been on the field since then. And you're making a decision already?
Maybe Ryan Allen's going around flipping everyone off. I don't know.
I don't know. That goes back to maybe there's something about this we just don't know, Joe.
Well, there usually is. There usually is a whole bunch of information we don't have about a play call, about a personnel decision. And this is also why coaches are asked questions. Yeah. And they can choose to give or not give information to fans who pay money to watch their football team play.
When we come back, what sort of a chance do we give the Titans in this game on Sunday against the Ravens? We'll break down that matchup next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For the first time ever, Nashville will host an MLS playoff game. This Friday, Nashville SC will face Inter Miami CF at Nissan Stadium at 8 p.m. for the Eastern Conference play-in match. Catch all the action on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:45. We're going to have Drake Hills on from the Tennessean in the next segment to break down that matchup for Nashville SC. So very much looking forward to that, but a playoff game for the first time here in Nashville. Very exciting.
I got a Nashville SC story dropping, too.
Ooh,
at theathletic.com at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
There's some news coming that it is tied to. How about that? A little bit of, yeah.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
There you go.
Ooh,
there you go.
Nice tease.
Haven't, you know, not, I'm a good soccer dad. Have not written a lot of soccer. You got to, so the lingo, we can ask Drake about this. The lingo.
Yeah, lingo's different. Yeah.
The side.
Yeah.
The clean sheet. You know, you got
I feel smarter when I start talking
about it.
The pitch.
Yeah. The pitch. Yeah. The pitch. You know, now that I think about it.
The side, I think, is my favorite one.
Yeah, I like the side. Yeah. I threw that into this piece that runs at 9. Also.
Through pass.
Yes. Ryan Port's detailed description of a through pass. Through the legs.
What the heck is that?
I believe it's called nutmeg, but it's pass that he calls it.
Nutmeg, I know that.
Yeah.
That's what they call it on FIFA.
Yeah.
I wrote field in this story at least a couple times when I should have written pitch. Dang it.
There's an edit button.
No, I can't get in there now.
Man.
It's embargoed. It's all ready to go.
Fort Knox people at The Athletic. Get in there and fix your own stuff.
I could message my editor right now. I don't know.
Man. No, just leave it alone.
Yeah, it's fine. Field's okay, right? Yeah. We can Americanize some stuff.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, all right.
Do whatever you want to with it. By the way, a week from today, the beginning of college basketball. Joe, are you going to throw a party? We know how much you love college basketball.
If any college basketball game that gets played between now and full distribution of the vaccine, I will throw a party. There will be a little party in my head at least. But, yeah, I'm pumped. I mean, I'm pumped about the season. This is, hey. You can argue, you can believe me or not, but this is fact. This is a college basketball state. That's what this is. This is
really?
Oh, absolutely. Let's go through the programs. Rick Barnes has a team that could win a national championship this year. They're an outsider in that race.
Look, I hear you that we like college basketball here in the state. I thought what you were saying there is like, hey.
I'm talking
forget
about
football.
No,
this state is.
I'm talking about the quality of.
Okay.
I'm talking about the quality of the organizations.
That
you know?
I can understand.
I
okay.
mean, we got Belmont and Lipscomb and TSU and Austin Peay.
Yes.
We got the Lady Vols, which is the most accomplished sports entity in the state.
Yeah.
Period. We got John Moran over in Memphis.
I hear you. It's definitely the quality of basketball here is great. I just thought you were going a different direction with that.
I'm not saying that there's more interest. There's more interest in football. Of course. But this is, if we're talking about what does who is achieving in the arena of competition, is a college basketball state.
Okay.
Period.
Period.
Someone argue with me.
Oh, I'm sure somebody will.
I'm sure there'll be some angry texts.
On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com.
From Heidi.
That's right.
Yeah. Heidi might text in.
If the Stillman burner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Heidi rips me for that, I know it's Stillman. So I texted Stillman yesterday during his show. Here's an example of old man brain. Stillman's talking about John Madden and like ripping Floyd Reese for like the field or something, the Monday Night Football.
Okay.
And I text Stillman, I'm like, John Madden, Monday Night Football, what are you talking about? And then it was like, oh my gosh, that's right, he was on Monday Night Football. I blocked out that John Madden had a stint on Monday Night Football at the end of his broadcast career.
You're not a big John Madden guy?
I love John Madden.
Okay.
But I like to me it's Madden and Summerall. It's John Madden,
yeah,
Pat
I
Summerall. And I honestly like I forgot that he
and Al Michaels were a thing, right?
Monday Night Football, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Because obviously it was 4 years. Like watched a lot of games, and yet I somehow in my mind that was a fact error. So anyway.
We all love John Madden here on the show. That's what we've discovered.
Oh, how could you not?
I think there's a lot of people don't like John Madden as a broadcaster. They think he's annoying with all the boom and the Brett Favre sayings he's got. Yeah. There's people out there.
That's just, come on. It's like the Dick Vitale thing to me. I can't get it, man.
I wish they still had John Madden as the color analyst on Madden.
Oh, me too.
Because it's named after him.
Right. But, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, obviously they're trying to make it right. like current people who they hear now on TV. But yeah, John, man, you gotta love that guy. Just like Dick Vitale, who there's a lot more people who have a problem with
not crazy about Dick Vitale.
He's the best, man. He's the best. He's done annoying. So much for that sport. Well, fine. He's annoying. He's incredible, man.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
He's annoying with a capital A, baby. Right. See, but everybody does what, right?
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in, Joe, call our neighbors to the north and get Toronto to bring the NBA to Bridgestone so we can really make it a basketball state. There you go.
Yeah.
Just bring the Raptors in town.
I like it. I feel so much for Teresa Walker that I kind of feel like, you know.
Just driving back and forth from Nashville to Memphis every night?
Well, I mean, she would have to be covering all their games just like she
is. I know.
Yeah. So here, I mean, and she goes to Memphis too. That would be, for that person in particular, that would be brutal.
It would not be good.
But hey, come on, Raptors. That's all right.
Suck it up, Teresa.
You'll be okay, right. Teresa.
Be just fine. Joe, looking ahead to this Titans-Ravens matchup on Sunday, I'll be honest. As we were talking about the game against the Colts last week, I looked ahead to the Ravens and thought, man, you factor in what that offense can look like at its top level, the fact that they're going to be mad playing against the Titans based on what happened last year in the playoffs. I just didn't really see a whole lot of avenues for a win in Baltimore on Sunday. But I got to be honest, after watching them play on Sunday night against the Patriots, and I realize, I mean, it was like biblical levels of rain in that game, so I understand that that's absolutely a factor. But they looked bad in that game. That offense did not look good. Defense looked like there were some holes that you can expose with Derrick Henry in that running game. I think there's a chance that the Titans can go in there and get it done on Sunday against Baltimore. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm overly confident about it, but I think they've got a decent shot. And I did not think that last week.
Yeah, it's interesting that you feel better about their chances after what they just did.
I know.
Getting boat raced 34-17. But I would say I agree. Like the way the Ravens clamped down on the Colts in that game, at times their defense still looks awfully good. But yeah, the Patriots, the thing that I didn't see coming in that game was the way they ran right at them.
I mean, right at them.
They powered the football right at them, and that's certainly what the Titans need to do in this game. So I think I agree with you that they look a little bit more vulnerable. Now, it also could be, are they doubly angry because of that, because of where they are, and because they still already have, I'm sure, a big incentive to get revenge for last year. That's probably part of it too. But I think in terms of the pure matchup, yeah, the Titans have already demonstrated that they can come up with a plan. At least D&P's come up with a plan to stop the Ravens. A little bit different personnel, but they know what it takes to make it tougher on Lamar Jackson. And that offense has got to get going. The offense has got to play its best. And if it does, I think you got a really good game Sunday.
And this is, to me, a Derrick Henry-style game where, look, they're going to be gunning for him. They obviously know what he did to him last year in the playoffs. But, I mean, every team guns for Derrick Henry, and he's able to put up some yards anyway. This is a game where you need Derrick Henry to be at his absolute best, and you need that offensive line to be at their absolute best in the run-blocking game to give him some time, give him some holes, and allow yourself to sustain some drives. And like I said yesterday, defense got to get you off the field and get the ball back in your hands. 29th right now in time of possession. I mean, that's just not good enough.
Yeah, big key here, obviously today is the practice day. I think it's 12:20 we can be out there. See what's up with Adoree Jackson. But Roger Saffold is a very important thing to watch here. He gets the shoulder against the Bears, leaves the game, comes back for Thursday night game, which is like, wow, that's a quick turnaround for a guy who couldn't finish the game, plays. Then he messes up an ankle in that game. And Ben Jones also was hobbling that game. But Roger Saffold, really important player for that run game. So maybe the extra time has allowed both of those things to heal up. I mean, they certainly need him. And then Tyson Brailoe, so that guy gets to see Yannick Ngakoue twice this year?
Yeah.
Hey.
Remember
Yannick? Here he is again. Yannick got him early in that game when he came in for Lawan.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big assignment, tough assignment.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb text in. The Ravens will be fired up. It's going to be close, but the Titans will lose on the leg of the kicker.
Which kicker?
Well, Goskowski.
I guess if they lose, say punter.
If they lose this week because of Steven Goskowski, I'm going to lose it on Monday.
You know that, right? You should just tweet all caps to Vecchio, like to Vecchio with all exclamation or
anymore.
Profanity if you want. Yeah, a lot of people will be upset. And I get it. It's a bad spot right now. Now, here's the question. Let's say Goskowski goes 1-for-3, misses his first two, but Vrabel trots him out there and he hits the game winner.
Cut him.
You're still cutting him.
Yes.
One for three. He just hit the
You're 12 of 20.
Four game winners.
Great. You wouldn't have to kick any game winners. You just make a regular field goal.
Okay. What about 2-for-3?
What's the one he misses? Is it a 41-yarder?
He makes two 52-yarders, including the game winner, and he misses a 40-yarder.
I cut him for what a statistical oddity he is. Okay. I can't handle it anymore. I don't even care if you miss. If he misses on Sunday and it's like a 53-yarder, I don't even care. Whatever.
You want him to hit
the short
stuff.
If you miss another 42-yard field goal, I'm going to unplug my television and throw it.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I'm not even a Titans fan.
Going to hold you to that.
Yeah, okay. I didn't say which television, but I'll unplug one of them and throw it. I got one quick story. Like 5 months ago, one of my TVs, it got struck by lightning inside my house.
Whoa.
So, like, lightning hit the ground, traveled up through a current, and blew up my television. So, it's currently inside my house, unplugged, destroyed. Maybe that's the one I'll throw.
That's
real
good
story.
It's good to have around to throw you, at the, yeah.
You're already halfway there. You've already unplugged it.
It's true.
All you got to do is throw it.
It's been fried at this point. When we come back, our buddy Drake Hills from the Tennessean will join us. We'll get into the big playoff matchup on Friday with Nashville SC. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Week 11 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, will start tomorrow. Make your picks of the three college or pro football underdogs that you think will win starting every Thursday and before the college football games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Party Foul gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is a big week here in Nashville for Nashville SC hosting a playoff game, the inaugural playoff game, on Friday here at Nissan Stadium. You can hear the game on Friday on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:45 p.m. on Friday. So to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Drake Hills from the Tennessean, who covers Nashville SC. Drake, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, yes. Middle of the week. We got a couple of days before Nashville SC gets back to the field. You know, a little bit of a week off. National teams have been playing, so it's been a little bit of a weird little stint, but we're getting back to some normalcy.
We sure are, Drake. And to that point, hosting this playoff game on Friday, the Eastern Conference play-in round, how has Gary Smith been able to navigate this group to this point, given everything they've had to go through this year as an expansion franchise? How did they get here?
Well, Nashville SC, Gary Smith, you mentioned him, the coach, and he has built this team to be comfortable and build this, you know, frustrating team, the team that everybody hates to play. No one wants to play Nashville SC because they're so stout, they're so stocky in their defense and the way that they play, but also just being at home, he's made sure that he's taken advantage of being at Nissan Stadium, making sure their record reflects, you know, home field advantage, even in a season as crazy as this one. And they've done that. Although they haven't been able to get a couple of wins like they did in October and September, but the end of the season, they kept their pretty good record at home, and it wasn't until the FC Dallas game last month that things really looked a bit rocky. But, you know, the fact that they were still able to keep a good record at home allowed them to just fluctuate between sixth place in the Eastern Conference or seventh or eighth. And so in those three spots, they were always going to make sure that they were destined for the MLS Cup playoffs. It was just a matter of where they were going to finish.
All right, so give us the detailed breakdown. What is the key here in this match, Drake, Friday night?
Well, it's going to be, for one, who's going to be in your team, because you've got two of your best players. And for sports fans, I mean, you always love the skill, right? The swagger guy, the guy who is able to be a bit flashy sometimes. I mean, it doesn't matter really what sport it is. I mean, you want to see somebody who is confident, who has their own brand, who can, you know, be able to create something out of nothing. And that's who Randall Leal is. That's the Costa Rica international. He actually was been playing for the Costa Rica national team these past couple of weeks. He first played on the 13th against Qatar. They had a friendly, kind of like a non-competitive game out there in Austria. And then they remained in Austria and welcomed South Korea. And that's Randall Leal. Randall Leal started that game. And that's, you know, this is a guy who plays on the wing. He loves to dribble. He's Nashville's leader in shots on goals, total shots. He's probably your best technically skilled player. And like I said, he's a dribbler, lots of skill, lots of step overs, all of that good stuff. But, you know, the key is, and obviously ESPN had this report yesterday, is MLS is still trying to figure out and work with health experts as to where, if can they get these international players who are, you know, representing, you know, various nations, but pretty much about 28 players in total who are on teams that are destined for the MLS Cup playoffs, can they get on a charter flight back to the U.S. and back to their teams? And if they can do so, they would not be subjected to the minimum 9 and sometimes even 10-day quarantines, which would obviously, for someone like Leal, who played, you know, simply as just a couple of days ago, he would surely be out for not just this match, but possibly if Nashville were to win, he might even be out for that game as well. So that's something to keep in mind. And then also Anibal Godoy, who really is what you like to call in soccer your destroyer. He's the one who protects the defensive back line. He's someone who is always, you know, dribbling. He's always passing the ball. He really is someone who connects the defense to the midfield. And he's had a left hamstring injury, and he's also a Panama international and would have played for that team if he wasn't injured. So two really key players. That's certainly a key for Nashville, but also, you know, Inter Miami, for those who are still trying to get connected with, you know, this David Beckham-led franchise down there in South Beach. I mean, it's built a lot different. He's got Rodolfo Pizarro, who's a Mexico international. He's got European players who played for Real Madrid and played for Juventus in Italy. So this is a team that wasn't necessarily fully made and fully created when Nashville played them earlier this season. So it's going to be about stopping guys like Rodolfo Pizarro, Gonzalo Higuain, and Blaise Matuidi, who is the only World Cup winner in all of Major League Soccer. He won the World Cup with France in 2018. And then Gonzalo Higuain, he's the highest player in the league, $7 million. So those guys, you got to make sure you stop them.
So, Drake, on the Leal situation there, is that just a norm? If there's an international competition, guys in MLS, that's across the league, like, of course they're going to go? Or is there ever a conflict with something like that when you have, you know, postseason games coming up?
You know, that's a good question, because it's always a fluid situation. And this isn't something that where the national teams can just pick and say, hey, we're going to take them, and you know, you can't opt out. It's actually something that it involves the National Team Federation. So obviously for the U.S., you have the U.S. Soccer Federation, which oversees both men's and women's national teams. And the federations of each country, they have to have that dialogue with the general manager of these clubs. You also have to have the dialogue with player representation. And so it's this triangle of trying to get everybody on the same page. And it wasn't a decision for even someone like Anibal Godoy, who with Mike Jacobs, the GM for Nashville SC, as well as Godoy's representation, they weren't necessarily keen on saying, okay, he's definitely going, when he was called up at the beginning of November and the first couple of days of the month. And so it is sometimes tricky, because sometimes players choose to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to play for the national team this time, but if you are willing to call me up at a later date, I will reconsider. And so, I mean, it's always this fluid situation. It's not necessarily a concrete rule to say that someone has to play for their national team.
Drake Hill's from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Drake, I just want to ask you about Walker Zimmerman. Nashville SC announced their team awards last week, and obviously Walker Zimmerman named team MVP. How much of a game changer was the move to acquire him heading into this season for this group, and what sort of an impact did Walker Zimmerman have on this group so far this year?
This is no hyperbole. I mean, even the national media will say this as well. Walker Zimmerman is arguably, if not hands down, the best trade acquisition by any MLS team this season. If you take a look at the price tag, you're looking at, you know, over $1.2 million in allocation money having to be given to Los Angeles Football Club or LAFC. And he's a guy who is obviously MLS best 11. He's a national team pool type of player. He's one of the best, if not the best, center back. He's still up for MLS Defender of the Year alongside Jonathan Mensah and Columbus Crew. I mean, he is that guy who is, you know, in the air the most dominant. He, his skill is well up there, and he's also a great leader, and he's got MLS playoff experience. And so for a team that definitely has focused on having a central strength, if you will, making sure that your goalkeeper, your central defenders, your central midfielders, and so far up the field, making sure that that's your strength. I mean, it starts with Walker Zimmerman. And, you know, for a guy like that, who else would you want back there starting MLS Cup playoffs?
Yeah, it's a great point. Drake Hills from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Drake, appreciate you, my man, and looking forward to this game on Friday. It's going to be fun here in Nashville.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Walker Zimmerman, he's been something else for Nashville SC this year. I mean, just think about where they'd be without it.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's, you know, a guy who LAFC, you know, traded for him to sort of be ground floor a couple of years ago, and he was a great player for them. I think he finished second in Defender of the Year last year. So, yeah, he's been, obviously, I mean, he's the centerpiece, really, and a lot of other important players in this team, but that's a guy who could be sort of the face of the franchise, so to speak. Face, is it face of the side? Face of the side.
Face of the side.
Front face of the side moving forward.
I like that. When we come back, it's that time of the week, the award-winning segment, The Choice Is Yours. Ryan Porth taking his first shot at The Choice Is Yours. So very much looking forward to that coming up next. But first, make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week, my beloved Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff, and some big implications there for the Titans as well. We'll be right back with The Choice Is Yours, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, yes, that time of the week once again. Time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then we yell at each other on how we would respond to said scenarios. Ryan Porth in the question chair today for the first time. Rex Road, you've done a nice job on your questions. I feel like mine have been going downhill a little bit as of late, so I'm going to work on that next week. But Ryan Porth today taking his first shot. A lot of pressure on you, Porth. I turn things over to you.
I spent a lot of time thinking about these questions last night.
You got it. Yeah, it's a process.
Joe was right last segment. There's a lot of pressure.
There is.
On these questions. Would you like to go sports or non-sports to start this?
Let's go non-sports to start.
All right. Non-sports. We are a week away from Thanksgiving, and there's always the debate of how early do you start celebrating Christmas. Mm. So the over-under of Black Friday for setting up Christmas directions. Decorations. Not directions. Christmas decorations. Over or under Black Friday?
Ooh.
Oh, man. I mean, I'll quickly jump on this. It's got to be after. But I know most people violate
there's
that.
There's a
me,
lot of violation going
I'm a
on.
Big believer in. I'm a big believer in after.
You know what holiday? Of all the holidays on planet Earth right now that don't get their just due, don't get the respect that they deserve, Thanksgiving at the top of that list. The food, the camaraderie that normally goes with Thanksgiving, it's just the best. Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday. The food is just phenomenal. You've got football. Joe, even for you, you've got college basketball to throw out there as well. Thanksgiving, to me, the most criminally underappreciated holiday on the earth, which is amazing when the holiday itself is about appreciation. You don't start celebrating Christmas until well after Thanksgiving. I'm going after Black Friday. You give it through the weekend, and then you can start going.
That's what I keep telling Amanda, that you know she wants to put up the Christmas decorations now.
Oh, yeah. My wife does, too.
I'm like, November 27th.
Yeah.
Which is the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Do y'all agree, like, Thanksgiving, the most criminally underappreciated holiday?
No, I think you're onto something there. Yeah. And it does. It gets blended in with, like, the Christmas pre-preparation. And it's like, no, let it be on its own.
Yeah, like, there are people walking around right now listening to Christmas music.
Yeah.
And started doing that the day after Halloween.
This world would be a better place if we could all get with us.
Yeah.
And go after Black Friday.
That's what the Choice is Yours is here for.
Okay.
We're here to help the people.
All right, sports question now. There was talk earlier in the show about potential Major League Baseball team coming to Nashville. We know the Toronto Raptors have at least discussed coming to Nashville, at least temporarily, for this upcoming NBA season. So, if you could only choose one and could have a full-time Major League Baseball team in Nashville or a full-time NBA team, you could only choose one. Which one are you going?
Man, that's tough because I'm not really affiliated with a baseball team. Like, I watch the Braves. I watch the Red Sox. I don't really care all that much.
You'll watch the Reds.
Yeah, I watch the Reds and see what happens and how they can screw things up, which they typically do.
Yep.
But I don't really have a team that I pull for. So it would be cool to have a team come to Nashville that I could actually pull for and maybe like get involved in baseball a little bit more. Like, I'm a big Miami Heat fan in the NBA. So I'm balancing right now the fact of maybe diving into another sport that I don't watch a lot of in baseball, but also the NBA part of it. If they come here, I can go to NBA games all the time and see LeBron James play. I can see James Harden play, Kevin Durant, maybe for the same team. Who knows? I'm going to give the slight edge to the NBA.
Okay.
I think NBA is the way I would go, but it's close.
Joe?
I'll go NBA, and I'll tell you why. First of all, let's go with the selfish reason, of course.
Okay.
I love the idea of Major League Baseball here, but my gosh, those summer nights after the whole year of football and hockey and everything, summer nights at the ballpark or all day at the ballpark as a writer – it's a little bit like I like the summers a little bit chill. And if you have a Major League Baseball team, especially a good one, the summers aren't chill anymore. So that's my selfish reason.
Okay.
But apart from that and the job thing, I would just be a little bit more excited about what you just said with, you know, having the NBA and the NBA stars coming in on a regular basis. I think Bridgestone would be great. It's already a ready-made venue for that. Also, I love the idea of a ballpark and be able to go watch baseball too, but we have a great atmosphere for that now. I mean, the Sounds is a great night out with a family. Go chill, watch some good baseball. It's a great setting. You know, have a couple beers. I mean, baseball to me is have a couple beers and chill in the crowd. We have that already. It's not Major League Baseball, but it's good. So to me, we'd have an overall better scene with NBA plus still having the Sounds.
I like it.
Okay. All right.
I know where Porsche going.
Those are
here.
Fair answers. Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I knew where he was going.
I don't dislike the NBA, but I love baseball. As Brad Pitt says in Moneyball, there's just something romantic about baseball.
Yeah.
Give me Major League Baseball.
And another movie quote, by the way. Good job.
That's like his fourth one today.
I know.
It's a new record for a 4-hour show. All right, non-sports. Would you rather pay $1 million to get a green light while driving for the rest of your life or get paid $1 million to get a red light for the rest of your life?
Mm. So, like, you're hitting every red light.
You're hitting red light, but you're making $1 million, or you're paying $1 million to hit green lights.
I don't have $1 million, so I...
If money was no object.
Yeah. I'll take the mill.
Well, yeah.
You know, you leave a little bit earlier, man.
Every single red light.
I'll take it. $1 million? Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know how many red lights you run into on a daily basis that you probably don't even think about?
But you know what? We've talked about being prompt. That was already a big adjustment over many years of my life. Of like, hey, leave earlier. Leave 10 minutes early, leave 20 minutes early. Okay, so I'll leave a half hour earlier.
Yep.
And I'll hit all the red lights and I'll collect a cool mill.
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to my good friend Dolly Parton and her $600 million net worth. I'm asking to borrow $1 million and I will pay to have every single green light. I mean, I green light the rest of the way. It is awesome.
That would be pretty sweet.
I have many character flaws, but one of them is like every time I hit a red light for like the fourth time in a row, like I almost look up at God himself and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you stopping me so much? What's going on here? Give me the green lights.
All right.
No contest.
All right. I'm a patient person, so I'll take the $1 million to set at a red light. All right. Last sports question. In honor of Trevor FedEx Daniel.
Ooh.
Who of these three individuals has the best chance of punting an NFL football 17 yards straight?
Oh, boy.
Not out of bounds, but straight. Chase McCabe, Jared Stillman, or Ryan Porth?
Oh.
I like that we get Chase and Jared. The
constant slander of Chase and Jared here on the show and their athletic ability.
We try to slander Jared and prop up Chase.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that's typical of the show policy.
That's right.
Oh, Ryan Porth. 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've seen Porth play. We play on softball team together. Porth's not a terrible athlete. Chase is a terrible athlete. I would imagine, without having seen Jared play, probably not a very good athlete. So I'm going Ryan Porth in a landslide. I think if Chase punted, he might punt the ball backwards. Like, I think it may go backwards over his head. I think Jared would miss. So which one's worse?
Do you think Chase has the best chance of going negative 17 yards?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Let's not undersell Jared here. I mean, non-athletic front. You know, you've changed. But honestly, my first impulse there is I'm thinking, okay, Chase. Chase is a big guy.
Yeah.
But then I think of the sledgehammer. I think of the sledgehammer. And, yeah, that image burns in my mind. I don't know anything about Porth as an athlete.
You didn't give any consideration to Jared whatsoever.
Listen, I appreciate Jared's little workout videos he shares. He looks like he's really pumping some iron there. You know, I appreciate the work he's putting in. I don't have confidence in him to connect his foot with a football in any way.
He would definitely go in the most confident.
Oh, I agree with that.
So this, yeah, that's true. He would talk a lot of trash to the football before whiffing on the football. This question is just a way for you, for us to praise your athleticism.
No,
is that what this is?
All.
Is that what this is?
Are you taking yourself?
No.
Come on! It's okay.
Really?
You can take yourself.
Yeah, no, I am not taking my. I'd probably take Jared in that.
Really?
There's no guarantee that it would go straight, but he could probably punt a football 17 yards.
Oh, I don't know.
Based on what?
What? Those Instagram videos?
You can't punt a can't punt a football 17 yards.
Probably not.
Oh, I think you can.
Sure you can.
Probably not.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drew text in, I think Jared wins that by a landslide. I've seen Chase and Ryan with a sledgehammer. The sledgehammer is the gift that keeps on giving.
Were you weak with the sledgehammer, too?
I wasn't much better than that.
Also, Drew in with a late shot on the text line. Joe doesn't look very athletic either, though.
This is our Drew?
Yeah.
Tell you what, man. Tell you what. Tell you what.
You should see his nostrils flaring up right now.
Bring it to the court whenever you want. And I am fat and old, and I will bust you on the court right now. Let's go.
He's really
got me all fired up.
He's really taking this Mac Jones thing very hard.
I know.
Man.
I have to vote for him or else. It's going to be a lifetime of attack, man. I don't look very athletic, Drew, but I will take you on the court whenever you want. When COVID ends, we're going to the court.
What about backyard football?
Oh, all day.
Yeah?
Listen, you tell me how many people have led a touchdown drive as a quarterback with a cigarette dangling out of their mouth.
Not me, Burt Reynolds. And you.
Okay.
Is that what we've discovered?
The list is that short. Not athleticism?
Burt Reynolds and Joe Rexroth?
Is that not athleticism? I ask you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Nice job, Porth. That was a nice first edition.
I think you did very well.
Thank you.
I think you're selling yourself a little short at the end.
Yeah, the lack of confidence in your own punting. I'm a little disappointed by that.
I think you're okay.
Good questions.
I have zero confidence in punting a football. I have all the confidence in the world in punting a Wendy's bag.
There you go. Very
if nice. My order's not right. But.
Yeah. Steak and check, maybe? Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Hmm. When we come back, we will be joined by former Titans linebacker Wesley Woodyard. Very much looking forward to that discussion. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.